Amen. Our passage this morning from God's Word comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 10, verses 20 through 34. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 20. In that day, the remnant of Israel and the survivors of the house of Jacob will no more lean on him who struck them, but will lean on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. A remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. For though your people Israel are as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them will return. Destruction is decreed, overflowing with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts will make a full end as decreed in the midst of all the earth. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrians when they strike with the rod or lift up their staff against you, as the Egyptians did. For the very little while my fury will come to an end, and my anger will be directed to their destruction. And the Lord of hosts will wield against them a whip, as when he struck Midian at the rock of Oreb. And his staff will be over the sea, and he will lift it up as he did in Egypt. And in that day his burden will depart from your shoulder, and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke that will be broken because of the fat. He has come to Aith. He has passed through Migron. At Michmash he stores his baggage. They have crossed over the pass at Geba. They lodge for the night. Ramah trembles. Gibeah of Saul is fled. Cry aloud, O daughters of Galim. Give attention, O Laish. O poor and awful. Madema is in fight. The inhabitants of Gibeah flee for safety. This very day he will halt at Nob, and he will shake his fist at the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Behold, the Lord God of hosts will lop the bough with terrifying power, and the great in height will be hewn down, the lofty will be brought low. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon will fall by the majestic one. It's the reading of God's word. You may be seated. We have here in our passage a further word from God through Isaiah concerning Assyria, concerning God's purpose in rising up Assyria and bringing them upon Judah. And if you didn't notice in the passage, I would ask you to go back and read this passage again and notice the words, the names that Isaiah uses of the Lord in this passage at different points. Significant meaning in the names that add to the context of the text. We'll try to mention those as we go through, but pay attention to the names. He is the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh, the covenant present God with his people. He is the Holy One of Israel, completely and perfectly devoted to his people. He is the Lord Adonai, sovereign God, Yahweh of hosts, infinite resources, heaven and earth at his disposal. He is the mighty one, another word for sovereign. He is the majestic one, in splendor beyond imagination. Pay attention to the names. And what we see in our passage this morning, again, is this weaving together of the severity and the mercy of a holy God. His burning wrath against sin interwoven with his steadfast love and faithfulness to his people to do to them the good that he has promised them, to bless them and to make of them a blessing to all the families of the earth, for they are his chosen ones, the living stones of his church, purchased by the blood of his only son and precious in his sight. As Isaiah declares, he is Yahweh, Lord, their ever-present and faithful God, the Holy One of Israel, completely and perfectly devoted to those in whom he delights, and in whom is Israel's name mean, in whom he fights for. Completely and perfectly devoted to their redemption, such that there was never a time when they were left to speculate about what he had told them. They didn't have to hear his word and guess if it would be true or not. His word was never left without a historical witness to what he had spoken and promised, for unlike the fanciful religions of men, God's revelation and promise are grounded in historical fact. And in verse 26, Isaiah here reminds of what remains of those who live in Zion, that is Jerusalem, where God dwells with his people in his temple, to remember when the Lord Adonai, their sovereign God, God of hosts, Yahweh, their ever-present and faithful God, with infinite resources at his disposal, struck Midian at the rock of Oreb. The name of the Midianite king who gathered his armies against Israel at that time, such that they could not be counted. Their men appearing as locusts upon the ground, their camels as the sands of the seashore. A mighty king of the earth and his vast armies, whom the Lord, their God of hosts, struck down by the hand of Gideon, accompanied by a mere 300 men, so that it would be unmistakably clear to the people of Israel that the victory belonged to God. And again, bringing to Israel's remembrance how their Lord, God of hosts, had delivered them from Egypt out of the house of slavery by parting the Red Sea, through which Israel passed on dry ground before the Lord released the waters and covered over the hosts of Egypt's chariots and horsemen, such that not even one who arrogantly pursued them as prey was left. Real historical events brought to pass by Israel's God, their Lord, God of hosts, their Holy One, that they might know and remember that all that he had promised them, he was able and faithful to do without their help. And nothing in the heavens above, the earth below, or the waters beneath the earth could stand in his way. Nothing could separate them from the love of Christ. Not tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, not even their sin. In all of these things, they are more than conquerors through him who loved them. Even in righteousness, he decreed their own destruction and the full end of their kingdom on earth on account of their sin. That even though their people be as the sand of the sea and only a remnant would return, yet a remnant would return and lean on him alone, on the mighty God, their mighty God, Yahweh of hosts, the Holy One of Israel, in whose steadfast love and faithfulness towards his people have always been before him, in word and in deed, such that even the evil which he sovereignly brings upon them, he turns to their good. Even his own fury and wrath against their sin turns to their good. To the good of all those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That they might learn not to lean on themselves or anyone else, but on him alone. And in this we behold the weaving together of the severity and the mercy of a holy God. His burning wrath against sin interwoven with his steadfast love and faithfulness to do for his people all that he has promised. To redeem them and to cleanse them from their iniquities, blessing them that they might be his witnesses. And to be a blessing to all the nations of the world. Not that they would be the blessing, but their witness would be the blessing. The rise of the Assyrian Empire in the mid-700 BCs was but another historical witness to the Lord's power and faithfulness towards his people. There was no need to be afraid that the Assyrians might overturn God's promises. They might thwart what God had promised his people. And consequently, there was no need to lean on Assyria for the fulfillment of God's promises. Not when Assyria and the northern kingdom of Israel attacked Judah. Not even after Assyria marched with ease through these kingdoms. With boasts of striking Judah and her God as well. Marching their armies steadily southward through Judah, to Judah, through a list of towns in verses 28 through 32 of our passage, coming within a mile of the city of Jerusalem to shake their fists at the temple of the Lord on the hill of Jerusalem. We can imagine what they said. We know how they talked in the last passage of comparing Yahweh to the idols of the other nations. It'll be no different. We're going to crush them and their gods. Crush Judah and their God just like all the others. And yet, what could the Assyrians do? For it was the Lord God of hosts himself who had raised them up and sent them upon Syria and Israel and Judah, not to utterly destroy his people or to take back his promise, but so that the remnant of the house of Jacob would be taught not to lean upon themselves nor anyone else, but the Lord, their God, the Holy One of Israel alone. The Assyrians were but a tool in the hand of God for the redemption of his people. And by the Lord's decree, the Assyrians would enter into Judah like a flood, as foretold by Isaiah, reaching up to Judah's neck within a mile of the city. But by the same decree, Assyria would go no further. They would raise the rod, they would raise the staff. They would crack the whip, but they would go no further. And for Assyria's own sinful arrogance and self-reliance, the anger of the Lord God of hosts would soon be directed against them, only not for the same purpose, not for their redemption. And as Isaiah poetically foretells, the main branches would be lopped off. The boughs as the main branches of a tree that would be lopped off with terrifying power. The great height, the great in height, hewn down, the lofty brought low. Even the thickets below the forests of the great trees would not be spared the axe. Do you get the imagery here? A real life situation that explains what's going to happen to people. Assyrians and Judeans. Even Lebanon itself, the very source of grand, majestic trees in the region, would fall by the hand of the Lord God of hosts, the mighty one, the Holy One of Israel, and with such severity that there would soon be nothing left of Assyria, wiped out forever. And only a remnant of Israel would return. A small few. And yet, a remnant of Israel would return. Would no longer lean upon those who did not love them. No longer lean upon those who had no intention of ever being faithful to them. Be it the Assyrians or their own king or political or spiritual leaders. But would instead return and lean upon their Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. Or better stated, faithfulness. As one commentator has pointed out, even God's anger and jealousy, his hatred and vengeance, were made servants to the salvation and the redemption of his people. His anger is but for a moment. His jealousy will depart from Israel, then his wrath and jealousy and vengeance will turn against the enemies of his people. In that great day, the day of anger and vengeance, that thereby would provide blessings and redemption to his people. And in the same vein, the New Testament says that though God's wrath rests on the wicked already, the manifestation of that wrath and all of its terrors reserved for the future. And we have nothing to fear. Nothing. Israel had nothing to fear from Syria or the northern kingdom of Israel, nor from Assyria, but only from the Lord. For this reason, there is always hope for those who lean on the Lord. Just as there was before Oreb, king of Midian, before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, before Rezin, king of Syria, before Pekah, king of Israel, before Sargon II, the king of Assyria at this time in history. There's always hope for those who will return and lean on the Lord. For the Lord is not only mighty and sovereign, he is holy, steadfast in love and faithfulness are his forever. It was not the Midianites, nor the Egyptians, nor the Assyrians that sovereignly came upon Israel to do as they pleased. They were but tools in the hands of the Lord, by which the Lord sovereignly did as he pleased, as he decreed, for the good of those who loved him and who were called according to his purpose. As the Lord has always done, so he does now, disciplining his people and destroying his enemies. Because there is no other way to be saved than by leaning on the Lord in truth. No other way to be blessed by the Lord and to become a blessing to others instead of a curse. That was the promise, you remember. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In Christ and in his church's witness to Christ. Turning away from the Lord to lean on and trust in ourselves or anyone else is the chief sin of pride through which sin first entered the world. And has ever since led people to be false. False to God, false to one another. Unfaithful to God, unfaithful to one another. To lean on one's self for one's own glory and good, rather than upon the Lord for his glory and the good of all others. To seek justification by works, that they may boast in self rather than by faith, by which they might just praise God. Of all the nations of the world, Israel was chosen to bear witness to the world of the Lord's salvation. They were blessed to be a blessing to all the families of the world. This time, the same blessing and commission of the church has not changed for the church. We also are blessed to be a blessing, have received the Holy Spirit and power to be witnesses of the Lord's salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord, his Son, and to have been commissioned by him to go and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that Christ has commanded us in his word. Primarily, lean on him. All of which began, proceeds, and will continue with the church, proclaiming the good news for everyone who believes or leans on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are theirs. Freely given by God, merely of grace, and only for the sake of Christ's merits. For everyone also who returns and leans on the Lord as well. Even a passing view of history and scripture reveals that the church, whether Old Testament or New Testament, was always at its best when it remembered the gospel and lived accordingly. And it was always at its worst whenever it forgot the gospel and started to lean upon itself. And if you do not know the gospel and yet desire to know it, to be blessed by God, to become a witness and a blessing to others, to make haste to find his church. Make haste to find his church. A body among whom his word is fully and truthfully preached, his sacraments are rightly observed, and his discipline faithfully administered. And let nothing stop you from finding such a people in your life, that you might not be hindered in any way from knowing the grace of Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the blessing of witnessing to others, of sharing in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And dear saints, let us not forget the gospel. If you have, then commit yourself to remembering it. Repent of prideful self-reliance and return and lean on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. And do it in truth. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, the proverb says, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, turn away from evil. It will be a healing to your flesh and a refreshment to your bones. That you may again know the blessings of God. And in turn, be a blessing. Be the blessing that he called and commissioned you to be. Be his witnesses. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And all those who practice it have a good understanding. Let's remember the gospel. Let us lean on the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Lord, God of hosts, our Lord, our covenant Lord, our covenant God, our with us, all present God. Lord, We see our sin in history. We see our sin in our lives. We see sin all around us. And Father, when you open our eyes, we are appalled. We're appalled at our self-sufficiency, the blindness of our self-sufficiency. And Father, we read your word. We see of your promises. We hear them. We recognize your deeds throughout history. Father, we are without excuse. And so, Father, we pray. We pray that you would forgive us in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, of our sins. That you would give us everlasting life. And that you would save us. That you would bless us. That we might be blessings to your glory and to the joy of all your people the world over. and throughout all of existence. Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.